beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Worship him, all ye his angels. Zion heard and was glad. The daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou hast sown the good seed, thy holy word, into our hearts. We pray thee that by thy Holy Spirit thou wilt cause this seed to grow and bring forth fruit, and defend us from the enemy that he may not sow tares therein. Keep us from carnal security, help us in all temptations, and give us at last eternal salvation. Through thy beloved Son, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
The Old Testament lesson for this fifth Sunday after Epiphany is found in the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, the 10th through the 16th verse. Therefore, you, O Son of Man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn then from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Therefore you, O Son of Man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness, nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day that he sins. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered. But because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, if he turns from his sin and does what is lawful and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has stolen, and walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins which he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the third chapter of Colossians, the 12th through the 17th verse. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here ends the epistle lesson. The heathen shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Hallelujah. The gospel for this day is found in the 13th chapter of Matthew, the 24th through the 30th verse. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servants said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares, and bind them in bundles and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn number 264.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 13th chapter of Matthew, the 24th through the 30th verse. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Here ends our text. Please be seated. Beloved in Jesus Christ, by any human standard, God would not make a very good farmer. Look what he does. He sows seed in the field, and when an enemy sows weeds, God lets the weeds grow up with the wheat. If you were a farmer, wouldn't you go through the field and do your best to pull up the weeds? Of course, any farmer would do the same, but God does not do this. Thank goodness we are not God. What a mess we would make of it if we were left to decide who should be saved and who should be rooted out and burned in the fire. God graciously tells us to leave things to Him. We have our own duties here, and that is to attend to the things of His kingdom, to His word and sacraments. There Jesus feeds us and waters us with His mercy and the forgiveness of sins. There He protects us from the devil's evil scheming. And He does this not only for us, but we can be certain that He does the same for every stalk of wheat in the fields, every member of His holy Christian church on earth. And so in this parable, we learn much from our Lord Jesus Christ about the way that God deals with us in this world. We see Him plant even as the devil also plants. We see that He tends His flock as it grows, even as the devil's weeds also grow. And we see how He brings in the harvest, so that not one stalk of wheat is left behind, and not one weed escapes the fire. But before anything happens, first, He plants. God sows good seed in the field. He does not make a mistake and somehow get His seed mixed up. He is not sowing from a corrupted store of seed where tare and wheat seeds are mixed up together, much as perhaps the laborers in the field presumed. God only has one kind of seed, and it is good. So it is that our Lord Jesus did not come to this earth starting a kingdom like men might expect. He did not draft and train armies and prepare to tear down the gates of Jerusalem or of Rome. He came preaching repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And He sent out His servants, the apostles, to preach and to baptize. And so it is this day. God has only sent good seed into the world. If men would follow His word and command, then they would teach only the pure word of God. And every preacher would sound like John the Baptist, condemning sin wherever it is found, and as a remedy would offer the sweet mercies of God in Jesus Christ through baptism, the gospel, and the Lord's Supper. Because God's seed is good seed. If there is any false doctrine, do not think that God is to blame. And as we see in the parable, God's seed does exactly what He plants it to do. It produces wheat. His gospel, His baptism, His body and blood do not produce sin or unbelief. They produce faith and good works. But what if there is some other fruit that grows up where God's word is planted? Jesus is very clear. Every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. Therefore, you can be certain that where there is sin and unbelief and hardness of heart or hostility to the work of God among men, then he did not put it there. As the man in the parable says, an enemy has done this. That is how serious it is when men follow their own fancies and they try to be clever, teaching some new thing that God's word does not teach. Jesus does not think them clever at all, and he does not even give them the credit for what they teach. He says an enemy has done this. They are merely the devil's stooges, useful idiots in the hands of Satan. So it is that we see after the good man of this parable sows wheat, an enemy comes and he sows tares among the wheat. And then, like the coward that he is, he runs away to hide and gloat about what he has done. Ha! He says, that will show him. Let us see what comes of that fine crop of wheat now. Luther said that wherever Christ scatters the seed of his word, the devil also immediately follows and he sows tares. Because Satan is never content to allow God's good seed to be sown and left alone. He hates the fruit of the word and sacraments of Christ. He is powerless to prevent the good seed from being sown, but he is not without his own resources. Satan has his own seed. He first sowed it in the Garden of Eden, there where all things were good. Just as God created them, Satan sowed doubt, which produced the fruits of sin and unbelief. And just as weeds propagate and grow more weeds, so there are two kinds of men in the world from that day forward. Children of faith who believe God's word and trust his promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And children of unbelief who live and work right there amongst God's faithful people. And for all intents and purposes, they even look just like them. But in truth, they are far from God because they do not believe his word and they deny Christ in their hearts. And that is always the way it is in this world. There are always weeds. God is not the author of evil. God did not tempt Adam and Eve to sin. Wherever there is false doctrine and unbelief or hypocrisy, even in the middle of God's church, you can be certain that that is the work of Satan, who is trying his hardest to corrupt what God has made good. That all sounds so very distressing. And Christians are often very discouraged whenever they find that where they thought God's word was growing good fruit, there the weeds are also springing up. In the parable, we see the servants of the man notice that not all is not right in the fields. After the crop has grown for a while, it soon becomes evident that not every stalk in that field is a stalk of wheat. Some of them are tares. Now this word, which the New King James translate tares, is a kind of rye grass, which today is known as darnel. It's in the same family as the other grasses, like rye and barley and wheat. And so when it's young, when it's growing, it looks a lot like wheat, especially before the harvest time. But eventually, however, it does become obvious that there is more than wheat growing in the field. The servants of the man in the parable had a reasonable enough suggestion. Do you want us to go and pull out the tares? That is what any farmer would do. Why let the weeds burden the soil and crowd out the wheat? But the husbandman will have none of this. No, he says, because if you gather up all the tares now, you will also root up wheat along with them. So it is that even though the tares look a lot like wheat, at least enough to know that all is not right, it is not so easy to root out only the tares. In fact, no matter how much you try, you will not get them all. And in the process, you will pull up much wheat. But how we would like to play God, as if we could make that decision. How many times have you heard people complain about all the hypocrites in the church? Or how often have you thought that the church would just be so much better off if we could get rid of this or that cantankerous person? Our wisdom tells us that we should get busy and start culling out the weeds. Find them, tear them out by the roots, and burn them. They are not part of God's church. They don't belong there. Surely the church would be better off without them. But God says, not so fast. Who do you think you are to judge who is wheat and who is a weed? You are not God. It is not your job. Our Lord Jesus has placed you in this world to proclaim the law and the gospel. He gives you his word, knowing full well that wherever you are, hearing it or teaching it, the devil will also be there at work, sowing his seeds of corruption. But how is it that you should deal with sin in your midst? Should you ignore sin and unbelief? No, because God plants good seed in the field. Jesus himself gave you the command to speak his word, to retain the sins of the impenitent, to treat them as heathens and tax collectors when they do not repent. When the wicked do not hear, we part company with them. But that is all we do. We do not have a calling or the ability to root them out and send them to hell, nor can we even identify them all. So many of the tares look just like wheat to us. And so it is that Jesus gave his church the power of the word to preach, to proclaim, and nothing else. And we have to be content with that. And indeed, we shouldn't fret and think that it's not enough. How often it is that the very people that we think surely must be hardened sinners and beyond hope, they in the end hear God's word and they repent of their wickedness and they believe on Jesus Christ. The stocks you think are surely weeds often turn out to be wheat because God saves them in the day of judgment. Therefore, do not be distressed that you must use God's word to convict sinners. Who knows that the weeds which seem to be bothering and tormenting you might actually be wheat? For you yourself often look like weeds to others. Is it not true that often in your own life, perhaps even now, your words and your actions identify you as one of the hypocrites who goes to church on Sunday but does not apply that word to yourself? Has not your own mouth been filled often with cursing like the children of this world? How often have you looked like a weed instead of a stalk of wheat, and yet God has not given up on you, or on account of your sins rooted you up and thrown you into the fire? No, by preaching his word, by bringing you to remembrance of your baptism, and by the sacrament of his body and blood, he has continued to bring you to repentance and to create a clean heart within you, to renew you each day by the power of his Holy Spirit. And therefore, do not be so quick to judge one another based only on the appearance and consign your neighbor to the flames of hell. You will surely be surprised on the last day when you find that many of those whom you believe would surely be lost are actually your brethren. Therefore, do not be distressed when you see so much unbelief and sin in the world or even in the church. You have been given a calling by your Lord Jesus to use his words and sacraments and to leave the rest to him. Let the world think that it's foolish to allow hypocrites to remain in the church and be glad that God did not leave it upon your shoulders to decide who is a true believer and who is not. For if Jesus truly did put that decision into our hands, what a mess we would make of it. History bears this out. For look at when in the name of Christ, some in the visible church have taken up the sword to root out the weeds. How many innocents have fallen? How many so-called heretics, in fact, became martyrs as their innocent blood was shed? The wisdom of God will yet be shown in this world, because God will not finally ignore the tares among the wheat. He has a plan whereby every single stalk of wheat will be preserved and kept, and every single tare will be separated out and consigned to the flames.
The day of harvest will come, when all the souls of men will be gathered in. And on that day, he himself will do what we could not. He will identify every weed and uproot it, and bundle it all to be cast into the flames. But see then how every soul is precious to our Lord. He does not come through the field with a sickle, cutting everything down indiscriminately. He picks through them one by one and does not abandon any single one of his saints, no matter how weak or frail they may be. You who must surely be just so many tares worth nothing to the world, good only to the fire, our Lord finds to be a dear treasure. He did not abandon you in your sin, but he has given his Son to join you in your weakness, to be made poor, to be made lowly, and yes, even to bear all your sin, to suffer and to die. Therefore, many of his own people considered him to be a weed that should be rooted out, and so they crucified him. But there God was at work, causing him to bear your sins so that you might grow up as a stalk of wheat. Our Lord Jesus does not break the bruised stalk or snuff out the smoking flax, for he himself became bruised and broken that you might be gathered together into his heavenly barn. Therefore, do not be afraid. Do not fret the work of the devil. Do not fret the hypocrites. Do not even fret your own sins, but only believe the words of Jesus. Wisdom may say that the tares should be rooted out, but God, by his grace, has not done this. No, he has kept even you who so often looked like you belonged among the weeds. And rejoice that God will both keep you and will gather you in with all your brethren. Not one of them will be lost. In the meantime, attend to his word and sacraments, for they are able to keep you unto eternal life, no matter how many weeds may grow up around you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Father in heaven, whose we are and whom we serve, thy kingdom come. We thank thee for the manifestation of Jesus as Lord and Christ, and as King forevermore. And we pray that his dominion may be established from sea to sea and from the rising to the setting of the sun. We thank thee that thou hast given mankind a divine sovereign whose law is love,
whose crown is truth and whose scepter is righteousness. And we pray that every nation, kindred, and tribe may confess that he is Lord to thy glory. We give thee thanks that though he is King of kings, yet he was tempted in all points like we are, so that he might be a worthy Savior, able to save all that should come to thee by him. May thy kingdom come unto the multitudes of the earth. Give the heathen for Christ's inheritance. Cause the kings of the earth to bow before him. And let all the earth see that he only is for the healing of the nations. Bear thy holy arm in the eyes of all lands, and let all the earth see the salvation of our God. And as thy kingdom is within us, a spiritual realm of the heart, may thy kingdom come in new power and strength to us also, O Lord. May the peace of Christ rule in our hearts in thankfulness and praise. By his example, teach us to trust in thy word and to be obedient to thy commandments. For his sake, give us grace to be merciful and kind, to be humble in mind and lowly in spirit. In thy word, show us the pathways of true wisdom. In his suffering, death, and resurrection, grant that we, redeemed in body and soul, may be dead unto sin and alive unto righteousness. And by the inspiration of Christian fellowship in worship, lead us to rejoice in thy grace and to give thanks for thy mercy. Grant that thus thy kingdom may come to us. For thy church on earth we pray, O God, save it from weakness and error, from unfaithful shepherds and false prophets. Deliver us from heresy and schism. Defend us against the seed of Satan and the powers of hell. Teach thy church to be patient in hope, steadfast in faith, and instant in prayer, until the time when thou shalt send forth thine angels to gather thine own into thine everlasting kingdom, and when the righteous shall shine forth as the sun, and be joyful forever and ever. To this end give comfort to those who mourn, patience to the sick, peace to the anxious, strength to the weak, abundance to the needy, and forgiveness to the repentant. Bestow thy mercy on all of us, and teach us ever to set our affections on the things which are above, where Christ our Lord ever reigns to help us. In his most holy, precious, and glorious name we pray. Amen. We sing hymn number 293. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. And now do we praise thee that thou didst send unto us thine only begotten Son, and that in him being found in fashion as a man, thou didst manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away our sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away our sin of the world.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God, the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 261.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.